Well, I've been doing art really as long as I can remember. When I was really little as a kid, I always was a performer and was singing and dancing and wanted to be a singer when I grew up, and was doing dancing for my friends and family and talent shows, either with my friends, but usually by myself because they bailed on me and I was just like, I'm going to do it anyway. which is definitely something that my parents like to bring up a lot. And then when I was in middle school, I think that's when I really figured out that I had a knack for visual art and just really excelled in it. And my teachers, they pushed me and challenged me to continue in it. And then I just kept doing it all throughout high school and then realized I wanted to go to school for it in higher education. And that's really where everything started to bloom. So my background is in drawing and painting, and that's what my BFA is in. But I started to go more against traditional painting and drawing when I was in the latter part of my education at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Peck School of the Arts, just because I started focusing more on social justice issues. And it was really, I started thinking a lot about how is what I want to do, which was make a difference in the world with through art, going to impact someone and physically affect someone in a gallery space. So I felt that my work was not solely to be experienced in the gallery and needed to be experienced with other people in collaboration. During school, I started dabbling in mud stenciling, which I was taught by Jesse Graves in Milwaukee. And to my knowledge, he was the one who started playing around with it. And then it was picked up by my professor, Nicholas Lampert, who's in Just Seeds. So mud stenciling is it's an ephemeral street art technique that is made directly from mud. And you just add water and you apply it with a sponge. So it's completely eco-friendly and goes away with the elements, which I've always thought was really beautiful. And so I started doing that a little bit more, and that just became to be a really powerful experience for me. And I really liked the way that it does go away over time. Something that's just kind of, I think, a good way to heal too, or think about healing, that over time things go away and things always be representative of that moment, but it really is in the moment when it goes away eventually. So I really like that aspect of it. Jesse Graves, he started doing more workshops around Chicago, and same with Nicholas Lampert, teaching some of his students these techniques, especially when it comes around alternate forms of street art and graffiti. And I don't believe in spray paint. I don't use it. It's very, very, very rare if I ever use it. And it's usually for a very small amount of time. And that's because it's just no one benefits from it. The environment doesn't benefit from it. This is a time where, you know, environmental issues are at utmost important in our society. The user does not benefit. The only benefit is that it's beautiful. And that's a very superficial point of view to me, which is why I don't use it. But what I have found that is amazing about this area doing the mud stenciling is the soil here. And it's unlike anything I have ever worked with in my life. It's free and abundant. It's like if you're a painter and you could just go out on the street and find paint everywhere. And it's the most amazing medium you've ever worked in. So that's what it is for me. It's clay. It's red. It's a beautiful color. Since it's clay, it is very smooth and allows amazing detail. So I make the stencil beforehand with a Duralar, which is a thin plastic. It's flexible, it's about the thickness of construction paper, and then you can just cut it, and then it lasts forever. So it's waterproof and all of those things. So a lot of times I'll do work with social justice groups. For instance, right now I'm working with Performing Statistics, doing mud stencils with them. I'll be working with incarcerated youth over the summer to show them how to do it too. I just think it's a really beautiful thing to do with other people and to teach other people how to do as well and to take back their spaces. And yeah, I feel like I've actually developed more into a printmaker now instead of a painter. I've only done a couple of paintings since I've graduated from my undergrad, and that was 3 years ago. I also don't really have the time or patience, which I think is a huge part of, you know, just being an artist today in our current society. A lot of people, it's like, I don't know. It's very rare to have an artist that is really, really thriving, you know. It's so hard to, you know, have to live. Most people don't make, you know, work and survive off of it. So it's like this challenge to balance making a living at your job and being able to work and be able to work on your work and have a social life and have free time and relaxing time. A lot of us just can't, you know, we don't have the time, and it's just really difficult. So printmaking, since it's so immediate and I can make a stencil very quickly, has been a really good avenue for me personally to balance that. But usually what my art focuses on is social justice. Traditionally, or more historically, it has had to do with feminist issues, issues revolving around gender, sexuality, things like that, because these are the things that have immediately affected me. And I grew up actually Mormon. I was born and raised Mormon, which really made me, as a young adult and late teen, really question a lot of my upbringing and the ways I was treated differently as a woman, even just in the way that I was taught that of my abilities to communicate with spirit or God, and how that was different from a man's. So that really started to make me think differently about what my experiences were and seek that out. And I had a lot of professors who really urged me to keep exploring those issues. And then it has ended up just pooling into other issues with other people, like right now the incarcerated youth, or just working with like Girls Rock in Richmond, be doing some mud stenciling with them over the summer, over the camp, you know, which is an all-free Girls Rock camp, one of only two in the country. And that helps gender nonconforming youth, trans youth, and young girls to explore art making with art, music, and activism. So anything in these areas that are just uplifting people, that are helping people who are dealing with systematic issues and trying to challenge like our current society and where we're going, that's usually, you know, the people I end up with working on. So actually, about a year ago, I was working with The Bridge in Charlottesville, and it was right after everything blew up in Charlottesville with that Rolling Stone issue with sexual assault in on campus and in Charlottesville, which has, you know, even dating back to Thomas Jefferson, has a really rich history in sexual violence. So I decided to take that on as a survivor of sexual assault and violence, coming from a family. On both sides of my family were torn apart by sexual violence. So that has been a huge issue for me. So I had worked with them, and I did some community artwork with them where people could come to the Mud Stencil workshops. It was open to the public. Before the workshops, we had someone from SARA, which is a sexual assault resource agency in Charlottesville, come and facilitate a discussion on the current climate of sexual violence, what we were feeling, how we were dealing with this issue, and it became something for a lot of people to heal, and then they could make their own mud stencils around the same issue, whatever they wanted, as long as it just had to be about this issue. And then we all together used the stencils and put them all around the gallery space as one big stencil. So that was really awesome. And then through that, the director of The Bridge, Matthew Slatz, who's amazing, he put me in contact with Art 180 in Richmond. And so Art 180 was in contact with me because they have been working with performing statistics, which is around using art to help incarcerated youth and to find alternate solutions to youth incarceration that are more proven to work. So they thought, hey, the med stenciling would work really well with performing statistics. There are all sorts of artists have been working with the youth or doing things with performing statistics like screen printing, or other photographers making work with the youth about their experiences and what they wanted the public to know. So I haven't worked with them yet, but I helped them. I worked with performing statistics, but not the youth yet, but to, yeah, help make stencils about that issue too. So they've kind of reached out to me, and then And then that's how I met the president of Girls Rock, Patty Conway. And she also reached out to me about my work and was like, hey, I think that, you know, we could really benefit from this, too. And, you know, I just say the more the merrier. So it can be all of our artwork, not just mine. Yeah, not being locked up in a studio is something that I've been thinking a lot about since art school. And that, you know, I understand, you know, people are going through what they are going through and they need just sometimes an outlet to create, which is awesome. I think that everyone needs an outlet to create just for mental stability. For me personally, I felt like it wasn't enough and that my art needed to go beyond my studio and it wasn't rewarding enough for me to make art just for myself. And it just felt too selfish for me personally. I'm an open book, you know, so I mean, and that's a huge part, you know, I think of understanding, you know, where I'm coming from and why I want to make these issues, you know, known, because it's so common. So I'm a huge advocate for people who have experienced, you know, sexual violence, as hard as it is. And I think it's up to their discretion, what they feel comfortable with. They don't have to say anything, but to share our stories, because people realize they're not alone then, that it's not just this thing that's off somewhere else, that it's happening all around us. So yeah, sharing is a big, big thing for me. So yeah, one of my biggest influences, I think, as an artist who really helped me develop was Nicholas Lampert. He really stands out in my mind as supporting a lot of the ideas that I was passionate about, really pushing me to learn new techniques and to explore a lot of the things that I was going through and that my art was addressing, that those were important things. I didn't know if anyone would really care about those things. And he really pushed me and said, people do care and you should definitely, you know, be a vehicle for these sorts of issues. So that really helped a lot. And a lot of times I wonder too, because my art, like my passion, like fluctuates at times, right? And I think it's something that a lot of artists struggle with, especially when we're trying to, you know, make a living at the same time. But I feel like the more injustices that are in the world is really what helps inspire me too. Like I can't just idly stand by a lot of times. It's like I physically feel like I need to do something. Like I'm here, I need to do something. So a lot of times that of course goes to art making, because that's what I know how to do. And I think that's really important for a lot of people to do, is just find what their niche is and what works for them and to try to expand those skills to better the world. The only place I've ever really been able to see like my art go is through community activism. Trying to go more outside of myself and yeah, definitely like facilitate discussions with other people, art making with other people and the community, and especially issues affecting their direct community too, or our direct community. I think that's important, is our direct community instead of, you know, going into someone else's community and, you know, being like the savior. I'm not a huge fan of that, but yeah, and, you know, helping other people find their own voice and want to, you know, if I can help inspire that, then I think I'm well on my way to accomplishing my goals. So I think, you know, studying community art is a huge part of that. Community activism, I think, is a really big part of that. Actually going out into the community and finding groups who share your same passions and seeing how can I make art help this group or facilitate this discussion further? What can we all do together to make this message known? And, you know, to study other like street artists or non-traditional street artists, I think helps too. Yeah, Google what's going on in your area. And then once you find like an organization that you like or that you want to work with, follow them, see what's going on. See when, you know, if they're taking volunteers, when you can pop in for sessions and however you can get involved with them, or even just reach out to them and ask how you can get involved and show them, you know, what you work, what you've done. And if you don't have something yet that you have done that you want to share with the world, then, you know, work as much as you can on building that up.